Mood, hither, thither, hither, thither, groan, thud, long, thump, hole, bassoon, moon, soon, fast.
Warm, swift, whiff, wind, window, whisper, whistle, hiss, kiss, wild, bliss, hollow, heat, sleep, lulling, heart, 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 heart,
bliss. Heart, 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 heat, hiss, hollow, kiss, lulling, sleep, swift, warm, whiff, whisper, whistle, wild, wind,
whisper,
window,
wild, window,
heat, hiss,
hiss,
kiss,
warm,
wild,
wind,
bliss,
bliss,
heart,
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 sleep,
heart,
swift,
heart,
whiff,
hollow,
heart,
window,
hi,
lulling, whisper, whistle,
warrel,
msimbly, if shweel,
welcome to the podcast. This is it. This is the final installment of the series of the issue of the presentation of the format of the formula of the hot, 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 hot,
fast,
hot, hot,
hot,
hot,
long,
fast. I'm going to play some conversations for you today. I'm going to reach back into my show from last year because these were two of my favorite moments from WFMU, and I'm returning to the of my own personal moments anyway. Doesn't compare to Kenny G's 3 hours of 1010 Winds radio weather broadcasts, perhaps. But some favorite moments of my own moments. Conversations, first a short one with Jaap Blanc, the Dutch vocal artist. He did a live set as well, which of course you can hear on the archives. If you go backwards in time, you can use the internet to go backwards in time and hear that. And then after that, there's going to be an interlude, and then a longer sequence with Alessandro Bassetti, who has an ongoing project called Mask Mirror. And that gets explained once we get there, so that's okay. These sounds behind me are from 1971. Arrigo Laura Totino. A piece called English Phonemes that originally came on a 10-inch record with the magazine Sound. And all the records that came out between 1968 and 1971 in that magazine were collected this year on a 3-CD set available through Pogus Productions. Really great stuff on there. But let's reach back into the Wayback Machine and have a chat with Jaap Blanc. Jaap Blanc, thank you. Thanks so much for coming out here and performing for us. It was amazing, as always. And you're in town, I should say. We are pre-taping this. But you're in town for the Human Voice in a New World performance with Joan LaBarbara. And can you tell me a little about that? What's it like working with Joan?
That's me.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And it's a piece you've done before, though, with her, right? The piece you're doing, or you are in town to do. And I should say we're pre-taping, so hopefully listeners got a chance to go out and hear that at NYU. You did a variety of pieces for us here. You did some pieces with your laptop and then the Cheek synthesizer, which I want to get back to. But you're using a lot of text, and I know other times there's a lot of improvisation in your work. I was wondering if you could say a little about, when you're working from text, how much improvisation there is in that.
Indeed. Wicked brand on the well below rip your kiss got and good at
And this work you do, is that, how did you come into this? Is this something you did as a child, the vocalizations? No. But how did you come to discover this talent that you have then, or how did you develop it?
Tresli besti nebogandaila fushkarabalabas takiditop bidibesti besti prushkarabalabas fashkidibim. Lanketrgl, pepepepe, oka. Lanketrgl, pipipipipi, zuka.
And so how long ago was that? I'm sorry. And the Cheek synthesizer, we heard that at the end of your performance. No electronics, just your face, your hand, your mouth. Do you have any advice for aspiring Cheek synthesizer players that are listening? Both at once. And basically that's it. All right, so practice and maybe the next generation will have voice synthesizer or Cheek synthesizer orchestras. I know after you leave here, you're going on a tour in the islands north of Norway with Kaffee Matthews, Roger Turner, John Hegre, into some very cold, dark, desolate areas. Are you? No, excuse me. So that's why you would have a gun. I see. Well, good luck with that. I hope everything turns out okay.
Ha ha ha.
And I want to ask you one last question. I know you've been, at least in the past, maybe in your private life, but you've been politically outspoken in your own country. And this is a big time in our country here in the United States. And, you know, with a new president, our first African-American president. And I think it's especially interesting to hear from people from Europe and from other parts of the world about this, you know, the impact of this election and this point in American history. I wonder if you have any comment on that. Well put. Well put. Jaap Blank, thank you so much for coming and spending some time with us today.
So you didn't get the benefit of Jaap's amazing performance while he was here. But of course, as I said, you can go and get that on the archives. But we'll do a little interlude instead before moving on to the second half of the program. Jaap Blank and Dylan Niukas. Niukas. One thing about doing radio or podcasts or talking out loud, one thing about talking out loud is sometimes you realize you don't know how to pronounce things. You didn't even know you didn't know how to pronounce. But Mr. Niukas is, among many other things, a member of the ensemble Prick Decay. And he and Mr. Blank, back in 2001, recorded a session that that just came out last year on Ecstatic Peace. Vinyl only, as far as I know. So we're going to listen to a track from that called Broken Magic Toy Take. Thank you. Alessandro Bassetti, who's joining me in the studio. Thank you for coming in, Alessandro.
No.
And he's going to explain a little about what's going on here at some point during the interview, if indeed this is an interview.
No.
I first became aware of Alessandro as a saxophonist and doing work that I suppose could be similar to Michel Doneda, John Butcher, some of the minimalist saxophonists. And then I got a couple of very interesting sound documents that he worked on, which we'll talk about. First time I saw him perform, though, I went to Diapason Gallery in Sunset Park in Brooklyn. And essentially what the performance was
no.
a conversation.
that he had on stage. Yes. Is that a fair way to describe it, Alessandro?
Yes, it's exactly what it was.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Do you want to tell us a little about how this conversation works, or should I?
No.
Should I attempt to?
Planting. Condoms. Inside. In your mouth. In deep space.
Yeah, sometimes it's a bit rough.
I will tell the listeners what I'm looking at. Alessandro is sitting here in Studio B with a laptop and a keyboard that looks to be about an octave and a half, encased in wood with wooden knobs. And he's pushing the keys on the keyboard.
Do you like it? Do you know somebody in Guantanamo? Do you remember it? Where are you coming from?
And for the benefit of the listener, I'll say that Alessandro has actually only spoken one sentence so far as we've been sitting here. I believe that's about right.
How can I help you? Can you see the future?
Kurt, can you see the future?
I have... No, I don't think I can. I felt as if I could sometimes, but I think I was wrong.
I mean, at least the future of this city?
Of this city?
Mm-hmm.
Jersey City? I don't know much about the future of Jersey City.
Are you from here?
I live in Manhattan. I'm from Illinois. Springfield, Illinois.
In the back seat of a car.
You're from Italy?
Yes.
Where in Italy?
Milano.
Milano. I've never been to Italy.
Yeah, Milano is the worst. It's kind of ugly and it's very stressful. It's very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't offer that much. It's probably gonna be so stressed out as if you've been living in Manhattan, but of course you don't have something in exchange Manhattan gives you.
Even the fact that, excluding from the
considering
picture, the
that
fact
she
that
did.
Springfield, Illinois actually isn't that attractive either, though. I think I might prefer Milan to Springfield.
Emphasize the fact that
Springfield, Illinois,
where I grew up, yeah,
is
stingy.
Is also
long
and is also
yummy
and is also
strange
and also
quaint.
Is Springfield, Illinois, in
close to Taipei?
No, it's far from Taipei.
Into disintegration?
And somewhat, yeah.
Between Wien and Graz?
Depends on which way you go.
There is like Wien, Illinois, and Graz, Illinois?
No, but you could leave Wien, go through Springfield, and then arrive at Graz.
Right.
In the saxophone case.
Do you still play saxophone?
I'd rather not answer this one.
Okay. Have you ever played trumpet?
Yes.
Ah, I see.
Softly. Between my upper lip and my nose. Very. Neatly. At noon. Enormously. Really. Prickly. Between a good and a bad action.
Yeah. Yeah, I played my friend Anne's cattle trumpet once. And, okay, let's think about trumpet players.
Okay.
That are my friends, and try to remember if I ever played their trumpets or not. I never played Axel Dorner trumpet.
He plays a quarter tone trumpet.
He has a new trumpet. Yeah, I think he used to have two trumpets, and now he has a new one. Yeah. I definitely never tried his trumpet.
Franz Hatzinger?
No.
No? No, you never played his trumpet?
No.
Okay.
But just name two guys which have been really influential for me. Really, really, I really like their music.
Betraying. Amidst the aging process.
Amidst the aging process, so somebody younger, Nate Vouley. I never tried his trumpet, but he's my friend and he's also a really great musician.
He is. Peter Evans as well.
I don't know Peter Evans. I hear his name and I really would like to hear his stuff. I never met him and I'm really
quaint.
No, actually I'm really
pervert.
No, I am
red.
I am
stingy.
I am
purple.
I am
tripping.
I am
releasing.
I am
smiling
about Peter Evans and I'm really curious to
relax
and listen to some of his
Thieves
and to
Fancy
about his
Children.
Does he have children?
I would guess not, but I'm not sure.
Okay, but yeah, I just to say that, tell me about his music. I just heard he's really great, and
he has a duo with Nate Vouley, in fact, and he's released a solo CD on Evan Parker's label PSI.
Mm-hmm.
So he does some of the very minimalist stuff, like some of the other people we were speaking of, but also is in the band Mostly Other People Do the Killing, which is sort of a very adventurous hard bop kind of.
What do you mean? Do other people do the killing?
It's the name of the band.
Oh, okay.
Mostly Other People Do the Killing. And I've seen him play with Martina Roberts, so he works also in more more of the jazz, as well as sort of the quiet, experimental worlds.
I know Martina. She's
amazing.
Yeah. She's not a trumpet player, though.
No, she's not.
So let's go back to trumpet players. There was a trumpet player that used to live in Berlin, and I really like his stuff, and his name is Rajesh Mehta.
I don't know him.
You never heard him. He was playing kind of prepared trumpet, but I don't hear from him since a while.
How do you prepare a trumpet?
How do you prepare a trumpet? Have you seen that movie where Herzog eats a shoe?
No.
He's like Werner Herzog, which is actually one of my favorite directors. I think he made an agreement with a friend of him, and it's like to try to motivate him to finish a film project he was doing. And he said, okay, if you're gonna finish this film project, I will eat one of my shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And so this guy finished the film. I unfortunately forgot his name. And then it comes the day that the film premiere, and Werner Herzog shows up, and he has to eat his shoes because he has to respect the agreement. So he goes on stage, and he actually cooked the shoe. It's like one of those old Clark shoes. Uh-huh. And he cooked it for hours and hours with some onions, and I don't know, he prepared it, you know, trying to make it taste. And then he eat it, which is very, very laborious, because it's like, even if, I mean, it seems disgusting. It's really hard, and he's trying to chew it. And
if you had the opportunity to have dinner with Werner Herzog, but he was serving his shoe, would you go?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I really admire him, and maybe I can just taste a little bit of the shoe, but I get a chance to talk to him. And Yeah, he's an amazing filmmaker. I wonder about his voice. I mean, it's like all these past movies is basically wonderful images and stories, and then his flux of consciousness about it. So I came to a point last year, I kind of got an overdose. I was seeing a lot of those. And,
right.
And after a while, like his tone of voice, I don't know if you have his tone of voice in mind, is very kind of flat,
mm-hmm.
and just goes on and on and on. And it's very persistent in a way. It's like, so after a while it was like, okay, I cannot take it anymore. Too much. It's like, after I see 6 movies, it's like, I don't know, 10 hours of that. But yeah, I really like his stuff. And I mean, the crazy stuff with Kinski, his documentaries. I love Fata Morgana as a documentary about Africa. And
should we talk about Africa?
If you want. But yeah, just before we talk about Africa, I didn't want to sound too Palinesque in my will. I mean, I thought about how to prepare a shoe, because you say how to prepare a trumpet, which I don't know. How do you prepare a trumpet? I guess a bad joke or something that Sarah Palin may say.
You betcha.
Standing on the beast, no one's inside of the castle. Prince, I might want to be, cause it's sad to listen. Keep your vessels off the sea. If you put them.
Oftentimes, when I interview musicians, we talk about them and their work. I've noticed that as sort of a trend.
To talk about the work.
Yes. That might be difficult now, though.
No, we can talk about Africa. I don't know, like, if you...
you have a project, a book and a CD called African Feedback.
Right.
And what you did in that is traveled through West Africa, I believe, and... you're playing experimental music for people as you met them in villages. Otomo Yoshihide, Stockhausen, some of your... I have the book here, and you list a lot of what you were playing. Your own work as well. Machine for Making Sense. This sort of thing. And talking to people about what they heard and what they thought about what they heard. And also recording their responses. You had them listening in headphones, like we are now listening in headphones, you and I. And the book comes with a CD that is your, I guess, sound collages based on the tapes you made of these people you met listening to Western, I guess primarily Western, not entirely, experimental music. And I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the book and the CD quite a bit. I felt if there's one dominant theme through it, it was that the people were so receptive to trying something new. Whereas oftentimes I think, at least here, people want to resist it and want to immediately say, no, I don't like that kind of thing. But these people that were perhaps even further removed than people in New York were very open to sitting and listening to unusual music and talking to you about it.
Right, but you mentioned... They also never said, I really like it. They never said, I really dislike it.
I meant I like the book.
Yeah.
I don't know if they
no,
like it.
You, No, it's just to point the facts.
But that's even more interesting to me if they maybe didn't like it, but didn't... I think you told me that only one person asked you to turn it off.
Right. One person... just one person said, this is bothering me.
Mm-hmm.
Moker.
But yeah, most of the time it was just they were just accepting it, and it wasn't strange. It wasn't either outrageously strange or outrageously interesting. It was just they were like, well, this is the way things are, and if you play this to me, this stuff exists. So it was kind of mind blowing. I felt very, very alone also.
Yeah.
Because I expected. I mean, I felt, well, this stuff maybe is, I expected to shock them or to find some enthusiasm, but they were very, very calm and very,
what? You
know, very far away.
Do you think maybe in the United States or in Western Europe, you know, or certainly other places, we just have so many options available that of media and of stimulus that if I hear something I don't like in the first 30 seconds, I know there's a million other things I could be listening to in those 30 seconds.
Right.
And there's maybe a novelty going on,
yes,
to the experience in an African village that we don't have.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
Yeah, it's definitely true,
okay,
that you don't have the time,
sure,
to.
Yeah, right. I see.
You don't have all that time.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make a very quick,
okay,
choice. And
What did you learn by doing the African Feedback,
mm-hmm,
Project?
I don't know. right.
It's hard to say it in words, and I'm playing my instrument right now, and I'm trying to make it even more difficult. I sold a lot of CDs when I came back home.
Oh really?
I don't know what I did. What I did learn, I think.
Yes.
Maybe one thing was to take care of my audience ear. Like, I felt, I mean, the type of music I do, it's experimental music, is felt as marginal. It's kind of marginal.
Mm-hmm.
It's not mainstream
in
my culture, in like Western culture or whatever, post-capitalist Wall Street meltdown Western world, and so there is a kind of a temptation to go out and say, yeah, but I have this very strong spiritual connection with a shaman in Australia, Aboriginal shaman, or with a wizard that live in desert island, or with kids, or with, you know, just to try to find a outside legitimation of what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went there, I realized people like living in a village in Africa, they don't care that much, and they live, I mean, I think it taught me, well, what I do, it's outside in my culture, but it's meant to function in my cultural context.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I am, and that's where I have to operate, because it's where I know the codes, and so does it make sense to you?
Yeah. So if you found somebody in one of these villages that loved all the music and wanted to hear more and was asking you questions, would that have legitimized your music to you in a different way?
Actresses.
Is that something that
DVDs?
You must have thought that might happen. You must, even if you thought it was unlikely.
Well, yeah, of course I was hoping for that. I was hoping to be accepted, because you also go there and you are very alone, and it's like you hope that some, you know, they really like you and they really accept you and you became part of it. I think it's pretty natural every time you go in a community that is not your.
Sure.
So they really accepted me, but they accepted me in a human way, and not really because what I was doing or what was taking them,
mm-hmm,
was great to them.
Right.
So.
And where, I didn't do a very good job of saying where you went. Where all were you traveling?
I went to Mali.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to a village, to several villages in the area of Sanga. It's a Dogon country. And then I went to Burkina Faso, in some villages in the region of Yako, which is kind of midway between the Dogon country and Ouagadougou. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a desert land, and I just crossed that on the way in to go to the Dogon country. Dogon is a very very known culture. They have a beautiful mythology. They has been studied a lot.
Right.
They're very seductive in a way. They're wonderful people, but at the same time, they know very well what anthropologists, journalists, or tourists want.
Mm-hmm.
So they know how to. They try to give you something. But on the way, like, I went through those villages on the flatlands in between, and there were villages where nobody goes, never, and so I decided to spend 10 days there after, and this was very different. It was like, it was a very different reception.
That sounds amazing. I've only been to Morocco, which you're not even supposed to call Africa. Right, they're their own thing.
Yeah,
but that's as far into the continent as I've traveled.
Where have you been?
I was in Tangier, Rabat, and Casablanca.
What do you remember about it? Like, what is the first thing that you can did you think about when?
I was only there for a few days.
No,
on a side trip while I was in Portugal. And just
no
unbelievable sensory overload. So much color, so much language that isn't even slightly familiar to me.
Just
I barely slept while I was there.
Verbs.
And it was, although it's very cosmopolitan, it's different than where you were, but sort of like you were saying, it was easily the most alone I've ever been in my life. You know, no one I even knew someone in common with that I could get in touch with if I needed to, you know, just completely alone, which is very exciting. A little scary in a way, but very exciting.
When was it?
It was last year.
Yeah, it's, I really would like to go there, and also to Algeria or...
Yeah.
I mean, as being an Italian,
and certainly remembering that
I am an Italian, and
she did giving for granted that
the Mediterranean is just the upper side of the Mediterranean.
In the event that
you start thinking about
that, she did, given the fact that
when I took the plane coming over from
in my car,
no, like in the plane,
referring to
the fact that I came back from Mali.
And why do you think no language is better or more beautiful than any other language?
Polish.
And
what if there is no such thing as meaning? Giving for granted that
I... Yeah, that the Mediterranean is just cut in two parts.
If language is a universal music, then this music is made of many other parts we don't know. And certainly remembering
besides
that...
Besides the one we know, unless we already know all languages.
To say that the language is more musical than another language means to conform to a narrow idea of what music is. Because of... If we assume that there is something universal about music...
What I'm trying to say is that
either role is rejected.
What I'm
there is something universal about language, and we already have the innate capacity to deal with all sorts of languages. She hates it. We could argue that
what I'm trying to
say universal
about
language is meaning, and our innate capacity to deal with meaning, and that we could always, for every language, access meaning through translation. And we could as well argue that what's universal about music is meaning, and our innate capacity to deal with meaning.
she gives it to him. We could always, for every music, access meets and all this.
I hate being constantly interrupted by myself.
It's been invented.
Because I am...
The Republic would collapse.
Yes. I'm trying to say that...
Korea is divided.
We all know that,
you
but...
You truly reached the last box.
No, I don't.
He's just being bored.
I'm not bored, but...
I don't insist.
I wanna...
She will not say anything.
The I am trying to say... I'm trying to... I am trying to talk
invented.
To Kurt and tell him that...
She crosses the bridge.
I crossed the Mediterranean Sea
the
with a plane, and now I try to breath
are getting
really slowly and not hear what my
will be
other voice
I
saying.
You.
And when I just talk about the time when I took the plane and I crossed, I came from the Sahara Desert and I
she did not
flew exist. Over the mountains and they
he
looked very similar
the
to the mountains from Liguria.
He understands
or
he
the
must
north.
Cross a big bridge.
Yeah, that's a big bridge. That's
you
live in the rich world up there, and you think
Polish.
That's very
the difference.
Africa
maybe.
Is detached, but it's very close.
Third.
Africa is
third.
Just on the other side of the water. There.
Sleep. She did not insist.
No.
He's
yeah, I just wanted to say that
a language can neither speak other languages. No.
Old
rocks. Being at the sea. And just...
Do you think we did a good job explaining to listeners what's happening here? Do you think they understand? Maybe somebody's turned in while this is going on.
Yeah, maybe we should do it again.
I don't know if I did it very well the first time.
You did great. I think you should...
Did I do great?
Yeah.
I'm talking to Alessandra Bassetti.
Yes?
Yes.
No.
And... Alessandro is doing something that he does in performance as well sometimes, which is an interrupting machine. And he has this machine
expanding.
Here made of wood and metal and wires and plastic.
Kicking.
And we're trying to have a conversation, and...
No!
It will interject. Alessandro has some control...
No.
Over what happens, but...
No.
Not a lot. Or maybe a lot, but not complete.
In a tantrum.
Right.
Yes.
And we're pre-recording this.
Yes!
So when you're listening to this, it's already happened.
No.
Not yet.
No. Yes.
Kurt.
Yes.
What do you think I am thinking about?
You might be thinking that it's fairly warm in here. Are you thinking that?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, actually, but there's not much I can do.
It's okay. Kurt?
Yes?
Can I touch your fingers?
If you like.
No.
Next time.
May I move?
Sure. Alessandra moved.
Shin... How could you know that?
Well, I saw you. The listeners can't see.
What are you doing?
Did you hear about Ringo Starr this week?
No, what happened to him?
He put an announcement on his website that he doesn't want anyone to send any more fan mail, and he doesn't want anyone to send anything for him to autograph. And he's tired of it all. And he said by October 20th, it all has to stop.
That's great.
I mean, people have had their chance, I guess. There's been, you know, the window's been open for a while.
Yes. So... And if he doesn't stop, what is going to do?
It's just, I guess it'll just all be thrown away. It won't be read anymore.
Do you know?
If anybody wants to mail anything to me in care of this station, I will sign Ringo's name to it and send it back to you. You can get the address on the WFMU website.
You don't know where you have to go? In the living room.
I don't think Ringo should mind.
Inside a jar of beans.
He's out of that now, so I think that job is open.
Out of sight. On the train. In the bed. Yeah, I...
And just...
Without any name of girl, I can neither speak other languages, nor...
Have a good night.
Do you think
it's
great?
Do you
consider
it
a
good
morning, really? I wanna talk about... Do you know Martin Tétrault?
Who?
Martin Tétrault.
Oh, yes, I do. I like him quite a bit.
Do you know his musical side or his, like, visual art side?
I don't know his visuals. I know his... I've seen him perform. I rode in a van with him once. I like his records.
Have you heard about the Ringo Starr project he did?
No! Tell me about that.
It's great. He actually... He, like, have those erase projects where, like, he take a book and then he scratch everything away by the word.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, he really likes to do that. And he did a show where he took all the LPs, like the covers of the Beatles, and he scratched away everything but the word Ringo Starr. Yeah, that's wonderful. And that's probably Ringo Starr got to know about it and he was overwhelmed and that's why he decided to stop.
Just
right. You know, he does this all-star band that he's been doing for years with Joe Walsh and I don't know who all. But I've thought, if Paul McCartney dies next instead of Ringo, I really hope Ringo just goes out as the Beatles. I think that would be great. I think he could, right?
Wait.
If he... Well, it won't happen if Paul's still around. But if Paul dies before Ringo, then Ringo could just get three new guys and be the Beatles again. The Beatles could get back together at that point.
The Beatle.
The Beatle, yes.
That would be great. Actually...
Pete Best, who Ringo replaced. Pete Best was touring, I think, in the 90s as Best of the Beatles. Because he is.
I think it's boring, isn't it?
Kind of, yeah. It's an old story. The Pete Best one.
Round. Green. Itchy. Red. Handsome. Odd. Stingy. Mushy. Yummy. Quaint. Tan. Ugly. Sad. Vast. Pervert.
Do you ever get asked for your autograph?
Right. Did somebody ask me?
Have you been asked?
Yes.
Yeah?
Green.
It's not as much a thing in the experimental music scene.
Ugliest.
Collecting autographs, I don't think.
Wonderful. No, but sometimes... Well, sometimes it
Precious.
Happened to me. I was in a festival and there was people like... I mean, it happens all the time in festival that people have the program and they want to have the autograph of everybody.
Oh, okay.
In the... I think it's kind of cute.
Yesterday.
Unless you start thinking, oh, I'm a rock star.
Gracefully.
In experimental music, it's...
Tenderly.
You're often playing in a small room and it's... After the concert, everybody just talks. So...
Yeah.
There's less this idea of having a token of the
handsome.
Meeting because you get to have a conversation.
Lazily.
Yeah, it's...
Wildly.
It's funny because sometimes there are small rooms, but there is this kind of star dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a huge distance between
Wildly.
You and the three people who are in the audience. Or if you're in the audience, there is a huge distance.
Well... Tightly.
I don't know. I remember...
Weekly.
No. I love Steve Lacy. I'm a Steve Lacy. I used to be a Steve Lacy
Seldom.
Addict. Yeah. And I saw 27 concerts of Steve Lacy in my life.
Wow.
Being in Italy, which is kind of
bold.
And
joyous.
Well, maybe it's not too difficult because he was more in Europe. But anyway,
no. Less.
I saw concerts of him where really few people in the audience, but still
not.
He was such a rock star for me, and there was this big distance.
Uh-huh.
And also, I kind of tried to talk to him maybe more than 27 times. And all the time, I even do a workshop with him
gracefully.
And every time I felt maybe I wasn't sure if you remember
yearly,
right?
Who I was. So,
did you ever ask for his autograph?
No,
I
should have. I like. Probably at the time it seems to be something kind of cheesy to do, but I think it's kind of cute in a way.
I saw Yoko Ono in Central Park once, and I just wanted to say something to her. I didn't really care about having her autograph, but
uh-huh.
I couldn't think of anything to say at the moment. So I asked her for her autograph, and she said, "Not right now."
That's a good answer.
Which seemed like, I don't know if that was an invitation that I could stop by later. You know, go up to the Dakota and say, "How about now?"
Yeah.
I don't know. I told my sister that story, and she said I should have just offered Yoko my autograph.
Right.
Be easier anyway.
Yes.
She may have asked you
200.
Or
20.
No, 1. 900. A million.
10. 70.
500.
Would you sign your book for me?
Sure.
600.
It's actually the only times I ask for autographs is I don't get CDs signed or anything, but I like having books signed. I have Derek Bailey's book autographed, which is a prized possession of mine.
Did he sign it?
Yes. It's a great book, too. Have you read the book, Improvisation?
Yes. Yeah.
Amazing book.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
No.
Yes, you're welcome.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
We could tell people that the book is put out by Errant Bodies Press.
Yes.
Which does a lot of remarkable text and
yes.
audio projects. I really like what they do.
But maybe you want to talk about it first time.
No.
About Errant Bodies?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's Brandon LaBelle, right?
Yes.
And What else is on there? I'm trying to think now.
Well, there is...
There's a Mats Gustafsson thing, I believe, right?
I don't think so.
No?
Well, I can...
Maybe that's somebody else put that out.
No. I didn't want to be bold.
I think
it's also why I don't like jokes about it.
There is a very nice book about sound, like site specific sound installations, which I think it's called Sight of Sound.
Right.
That was some years ago, and
I have that, and I have a Mats Gustafsson CD with a similar yellow cover.
And they get
and that's what I just
together.
Yes, that's what happened.
They morphed one into the other.
Right.
The power of the covers. No, that's a very cool book. It's, I mean, I don't know, like maybe now a lot of the concepts that are in there are kind of for granted or well known, but at the time I remember it was, wow, really mind-blowing. And there is a thing in that book which really impressed me and was a score. And now I forgot the name of the score, but go on the website, www.errantbodypress.org, and find out all about this wonderful publisher. But so this score was a score for listening. It was a score where instead of saying what you are supposed to what kind of you're supposed to produce, it was all about the way you're supposed to listen to sound. So, like, concentrate on sounds that are coming from in front of you or in behind you, over, under, or sounds that are far away, sounds that are real or sounds that are remembered, sounds that are man-produced or sounds that are not the nature. And it was amazing. It was like really a score, and you were supposed to... and, of course, you can kind of tune your perception in many different ways. And that's why I really like that piece, among many, many other things. I mean, he recently put out some other really amazing monographies about Christophe Migon and Yasunao Tone. There is a book called Radio Territories, which is about radio art.
Essays. I like that one. I just got a... talking about listening in different contexts. There's this CD that Keith Rowe with Keith Rowe and a saxophonist named Wright, Seymour Wright, maybe, that just came out on Mateen's label, where it's one 40-minute set, but it's three CDs, and the set was recorded at three different places in the room. So you can, you know, hear it from all the way to the right or from right on the stage or a little further back. And they sound completely different.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's very interesting. Yeah. It makes me feel like I can never sit in the best seat anymore. Because it's just going to be such a different experience. Do you go out to concerts often?
Yeah, I mean, when I have a chance, I really enjoy to listen music live, definitely. I'm not consistently living in one place, so I kind of sometimes lose the overview of what's going on where I am, and which is kind of nice in a way, because I get to go to places and then just concert materialize, like, oh, that's this thing happening here tonight, and then I just kind of go out and check it out.
Right. But so you're back in Italy part of the time, and you've been also in Baltimore? You've been staying in Baltimore?
No, I am half-time in Berlin, half-time in Baltimore, and I go often to Italy when I'm in Berlin.
Is there a lot going on in Baltimore? I've only been there a couple times.
There is quite a bit going on. Yes,
I hear of things, but
there is definitely a very lively experimental community. It's a cool city with a big soul and a very kind of weirdly rooted free thinking tradition. I don't know where does it come from, but
when you're there, do you get to perform?
I do. I'll perform tomorrow. Actually, I'm in the middle of a tour with Byron Westbrook, which is a musician from Brooklyn, and we have been touring for about 3 weeks now. We've been all over.
You have to remember though that we're speaking in the past.
Sorry?
We're speaking in the past, so the tour might be over now by the time this is heard.
Oh, you're right. So the tour is gonna be over. Yeah.
So do you want to reflect on some of the concerts that haven't happened yet?
Sure.
And we can, you know, keep the interview very current that way? Like, how did the tour end up? Did you two still get along at the end of the tour?
No. We had a terrible fight. Because he actually... I have this thing that when I go around... I kind of don't take basic stuff with me, like toothpaste and shampoo, and or even like blank CDs. And he's very, very organized, and he has all this stuff. And so I just kept using his shampoo, and he kind of tolerated it for a while, and then like right, the last concert, which was in Providence, a terrible fight broke out.
Mm-hmm.
And
on stage or backstage?
On stage. Oh, on stage. But we were doing like all the tour. We did kind of a split tour. So I was doing my set, which is more or less what I'm doing now, like this speech oriented sort of
mm-hmm.
interrupting machine thing. And then he was doing his drone pieces with visuals, very, very nice. And but he find out right at the beginning of my set about that I used his last remaining blank DVDs, actually. That was the thing that, and he got really mad and he jumped in the middle of the stage and he threatened to kill me.
Wow.
And I pull out my sword, because I always travel with a sword when I am in the US.
It's probably a good idea.
Yeah, like I thought it's very nice to have a sword, and
no,
because everybody have guns, and I thought it's kind of cheap. So I have this kind of very, it's not like a Japanese sword, like the Uma Thurman thing that everybody has right now. It's kind of trendy.
Uh-huh.
It's more like a sort of 1600 Spanish style sword, and so we had this kind of thing, and that was the end of the tour. But Byron is great. I love him.
I hope neither of you were injured.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Or will be injured. As
no.
Maybe I'm gonna be injured when he's gonna listen to the radio program, because actually all what I said is false.
No.
And we are good friends, and I don't know what
is
how those concerts went, because I haven't played them yet.
So is everything you've said false, or did you just mean that last little part?
No. Yes. 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 Many years. Wonder. Verbs. Extend. Croissants. Push. Techno tracks. Earn. Hunter get. Crabs. Settle. Frogs. Color. Videos. Polish. Bags to be reused. Lick. Families. Kiss. Aspirations. File. Careers. Stop.
Careers. Stop.
I wonder if everything you've said is false, if this was a waste of time or not.
Three Italians. Perform. And books. Itinerary changes. Preserve. Beehives. Personal guards. Vanish. Activists. Clementines. Beam. Creeks. Us. Enter. In a closet. Condoms. Sneeze. Passwords. Live music venues. Kiss. Uncles. Tomatoes. Remain. Wasteful. Beams. Decide. Deliberately. Nintendo DS games.
Do you have your passport with stamps to show that you actually went to Africa?
Yes. You want to see that?
Well, maybe after the show, but just to make sure, because if you didn't really go, then I
you're going to feel kind of...
I wouldn't want to deceive the listeners.
I can do it now.
Okay.
All right.
That might be best.
We're going to leave this sine wave here.
Yeah, let's listen to that.
Okay. Thank you. password.
No.
You have more hair in this photo.
Yes. No.
Okay. Yeah, it looks like everything is in order.
Sh. Belgian. Nette fu. Vieffe. Walker. Out.
Okay. I guess the interview is authentic then. So thank you.
Thank you.
For coming to visit us here.
Thank you very much. It was my pleasure.
This was my chat with Alessandra Bassetti. You don't need me to say anything more about it because I said plenty during it. Isn't that right? Alessandra has a band stateside here called Trophies with Audrey Chen, Christian Keston, Kenta Nagai, and Morten Olsen. And I have the distinction of being named in one of their songs as a result of that interview. So we'll give a listen to that. It's unreleased, but Alessandro was good enough to get me a copy of this as well. It is called Backseat Bounce. Band is called Trophies.
Seat, listen to him talk. He's been dating her. There's definitely something special going on. Kurt, can I touch your fingers? If you want, he says. So the date he was mentioning, how useful would it be? How often would her let him touch her fingers?
Exclusive pleasure.
Related to jam, stamps and cherries. Just words over and over. In the backseat, listen to him talk. He's been dating her. There's definitely something special going on. Kurt, can I touch your fingers if you want? So the date he was mentioning,
how useful would it be? How often would he let him touch her fingers?
Exclude. Related to jam, stamps and cherries. Just words over and over. In the backseat, he's been dating her. There is definitely something special going on. Kurt, can I touch your fingers? If you want, he says. So the day, how useful would it be? How often will I touch your fingers?
Exclusive pleasure.
Related to jam.
Just words over and over.
In the backseat, listen to him talk. He's been dating her. There's still going on. Kurt, can I touch your fingers? If you want, he said. So the date he was mentioning, how useful would it be? How often would he like to touch your fingers? Exclusive pleasure related to jam, stamps, and cherries. Just one. In the back seat, listen to him talk. He's been dating her. There's definitely something special going on. Kurt, can I touch your fingers? If you want, he says. So the date he was mentioning, how useful. How often would I let him touch your fingers? Exclusive pleasure related to jam, stamps, and cherries. Just words over and over. In the back seat, listen to him talk. He's been dating her. There's definitely something special going on. Kurt, can I touch your fingers? If you want, he says. So the date he was mentioned.
How useful would it be?
How often would I let him touch your fingers? Exclusive pleasure related to jam, stamps, and backseat, listen to him talk. He's been dating her. There's definitely something special going on. Kurt, can I touch your fingers?
If you want, he says.
So the date he was mentioning, how you
how often
will
I touch your fingers?
Exclusive pleasure related to jam, stamps, and cherries. Just words.
Backseat, listen to him talk.
He's been dating her. There's definitely something special going on.
Kurt, can I touch your fingers? If you want, he says. So the date
he was mentioning,
how useful would it be? How often would you let him touch your fingers? Exclusive pleasure
related to jam, stamps, and cherries. In the
backseat, listen to him talk.
There's definitely something special going on. Kurt, can I touch your finger? If you want, he says.
So the date he was mentioning, how useful
would it be? How often would I let him talk? Cherries, just words over and over.
In the backseat, listen to him talk.
He's been.
There's definitely something special
going on. Kurt, can I touch your fingers? If you want, he says.
So the date he was mentioning, how useful would it be? How often would I let him touch your fingers? Exclusive pleasure
related to jams, stamps, and cherries. Just words over and over.
Yeah. That's it.
It's all over. Friends, there are no more peas in the pod. But it's been a fun summer sharing these live audio experiences with you. And all of them, of course, have also gone, most of them anyway, maybe not all of them, most of them, have gone to the Free Music Archive, where there's just like a thousand, hundred, million, dozen other things for you to listen to, as well as the archives. And we also run a little radio station that you can hear at 91.1 or 90.1, depending on where you are. But you know all that because you're a savvy listener. You know that I've ended every show with this loop from a Brian Eno song, right? And you probably know that I will be sitting in the radio chair Sunday nights, Monday mornings, from midnight to 3 a.m. Eastern Seaboard time. So join me there, too. Yeah, I'm thinking I'm going to try and not be such a goddamn fool on this schedule. I'm going to play icy music and try and come off as very smart and serious and intellectual. Ah! Yeah. Kurt. The Brother Lucy Pod Show signing off. The Brother Lucy Show coming back. WFMU.org. It's our pleasure to serve you.